Ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to another spring edition of the James Whale Radio Show. Thank you very much, spring. Yes, well, spring has well and truly sprung. Here we are in May. The program today, we'll be talking to Mark Abraham, the vet. We've had him on before. We're talking to him about the illegal trade, or actually, I tell a lie, the legal trade in puppy farming. That is a legal trade because lots of these puppy farms are registered by the local authorities. The local authorities should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for doing it. If you saw the Panorama program last week, I tell you, I take them out and I flog them to within an inch of their lives, these people who treat dogs appallingly. So I dedicate this program to all those animals that are being mistreated all over the place. Even if you eat meat, I eat meat, and every time I eat an animal, I think about the animal. We eat too much meat in this country. The abattoirs in this country, some of them are absolutely appalling. The idea that a religious person has to kill an animal guys, if you're religious in that sort of way and you've got to have your meat killed in a particular way, I'm sorry, I just do not understand the mentality of it. And it's about time we improve. Our welfare for animals is better in this country than a lot, but it still ain't very good, because here in this country, as opposed to other countries in Europe where they seem to respect the meat that they eat, we seem to want to have it more like lumps of plastic in the supermarkets and the less like an animal, a being that has lived and given its life so that we can enjoy eating it. The less it looks like an animal, the better for people over here, which I find really quite appalling. You eat an animal, then you've contributed. We've all contributed to taking the life of an animal. Now, I'm not a vegetarian. I do eat animals, and I just hope that animals can be killed as painlessly. Can you kill something? Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. I've kept chickens myself, and I've eaten my own chickens, I've been to abattoirs. Okay, when you're invited to go to an abattoir, they obviously do it properly, but it's not a nice thing to go to. It's not a nice place to be, but as long as it can be done as kindly as possible. I think deer farming, probably, where the deer are shot. I don't know, I'm depressing myself now. Why am I depressing myself so much?
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah. That's a bit heavy, isn't it, for this show, really?
Well, it needs to be said, I think.
It does need to be said, yeah. I remember doing a programme on a BBC station I work for where we were talking about a village had got up in arms about the local butchers because they had whole animals hanging in their shop and their shop windows, and they had rabbits, they had some venison, i.e. deer, and they had some pigs, and the animals' heads were there. And the local people wanted it to stop. Come on, if you're going to eat an animal, think about it.
Wasn't it the kids were getting upset because the sweet shop was next door or something silly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but that's life. And the sooner we teach our children what's going on, the better, surely.
When we have meat, I always tell my daughter where the bits of meat have actually come from, which part of the animal, etc.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing, and I got into trouble because I'm not going to listen to it. But I was talking about Christmas on one BBC program not long ago, and the boss there had a little message. Said, James, the BBC don't allow you to say that Father Christmas didn't exist. I said, what? Well, you want me to actually lie to children? Is that what you're saying? No, but we don't want to upset them. Oh, don't be ridiculous. No kids really believe that Father Christmas is real. Not if they're over the age of five, anyway. You know, don't tell kids lies. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm not so sure.
I think it is. I'm sorry, but I think it is. I know you're an old softy, but Father Christmas didn't exist. Like lots of things people believe in and think they're real, they don't exist.
Invented by Coca-Cola.
Yep, that's probably it. I just thought of a really sick joke, but it would be blasphemous, so I'm not going to say it.
Can you tell me later?
Probably, yeah. Here's a story I was doing the other day. A prison has had a load of plastic policemen made. Well, they're cardboard cutouts of policemen, which they've put around the prison to deter criminal activity.
You what?
No, seriously. They've had these, and it happens all over the country. Apparently, there are prisons who've had. Had cardboard cutout police officers, mostly men, in fact, all men, so slightly sexist as well as stupid. And they've had them made and they've put them up at different points around the prison to remind people they're being watched.
Couldn't they have just gone to Madame Tussauds and got some old wax models to dress up?
I don't know. But if it works... Well, then there's a problem with the recruiting. We talked about it before, the armed forces. So plastic or cardboard soldiers, sailors and airmen. We can solve that one swift purchase of cardboard nurses and doctors, the NHS problems.
Didn't they do that in the war with cardboard cutout tanks in a field?
And planes, yes, they do. Yes, when people flew over. I mean, we did it here and... I think the Germans did it and other people, you know, because when the planes look down, it's difficult to make out what's underneath. So they had loads of cardboard planes in a pretend airfield. And so the enemy went and bombed those, leaving the real ones alone.
Genius.
Yeah. Well, maybe it does work. Maybe it's not such a stupid idea.
In Home Bargains, the store, other stores are available. They got a picture of a policeman in the window.
Really?
Hmm.
Oh. To stop shoplifting.
Oh, yeah, full-size policeman stuck to the window. Yeah.
Well, maybe, and there are apparently petrol stations that have them to stop people, you know, just driving off without paying. It's not a bad idea. Listen, why don't you get in touch? Email me, jameswellradio@gmail.com, and tell me whether you think having a plastic policeman would help security where you live.
Yeah, we get neighbours to watch, put a policeman in your front room.
Yeah. Well, let's go further. Why don't we have cardboard cutouts of squad cars and just leave them at the side of the road down your street?
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I'm on a rock and roll here.
Hmm.
You know, we don't need to waste the time of soldiers outside Buckingham Palace. They could be cardboard cutouts, couldn't they?
They could. You could get a cardboard cutout of me and I could do other things.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could all be cardboard cutouts of each other.
Yeah, and think you wouldn't need to feed them, no lunch breaks.
No. You know, this could solve an awful lot of problems. Yeah, I take it back. I don't think it's such a stupid idea after all.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Well Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show right here, right now. A very good day to all those radio stations taking this programme wherever you are. Nice to have you with us. And if you would like to find out more, go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, where we have a rather spiffing shop. You can purchase all sorts of lovely items. You can buy copies of Almost a Celebrity. It's an autobiography of a fascinating radio personality. What else have we got? Mugs?
Mugs. I forgot about the mugs.
I want one of those mugs. I haven't got one yet. I'm going to have to go to the shop and get one.
I've got a mug.
Have you?
Mm.
I was talking about a mug you drink out of, not the mug that's there at the top of your body, of course.
I see.
Yeah. Now, there's something else. Something else I was going to say, and I've forgotten what it was. We were selling those phones, weren't we?
Well, we haven't started selling them yet. We're researching them at the moment.
Are we? Okay. Because they look like the old-fashioned phone that you can plug into your Android or your iPhone, and you can just pretend you're on the phone.
On the blower.
On an old-fashioned phone. Not a blower. It's nice. It's kind of a soft... I've got one here. Soft plastic, isn't it?
Spray-on rubber.
Rayon rubber.
Spray-on rubber.
Rayon rubber. That's nice. Rayon rubber. I quite like that. Rayon rubber. Also, go to the website. You can see clips of some of the old TV shows as well. As my interview with Spike Milligan that I'm very proud of. And thank you. Lots of people going to watch that as well, aren't there?
Yes, that seems to be a popular one, that one.
Yeah. So have a look at that, check it out, and we will... Should we take a short break or should we have some music?
Oh, should we have this piece of music that arrived on my desk?
It's rather interesting, isn't it? The mannequin... Well, we're talking about cut-out policemen, aren't we?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We're talking about cut-out policemen, and what about getting mannequins? Of course, you know these almost lifelike... sex toys you can buy. Well, dolls. I mean, they're almost like... There was a guy in America who bought... And they cost something like about £8,000 each.
Right.
And they are almost indistinguishable from the real thing.
Do they nag at you?
No, that's the good point.
How much again?
Around about $8,000, I think.
I'll start saving.
You check them out. I did a piece on them years ago, but one bloke in America had about 5 of them, and he has them all sitting around his house, and he talks to them, and he considers that they're his wives.
Ah, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, well, pretty good, pretty good. Anyway, let's have some... it's kind of a punk thing, this, which is quite good. The Mannequin Death Squad with a debut single, which is called, quite simply, Sick. Yeah, do you know, I like it. It's not hardcore punk, that, Rob, is it, really? It's more poppy punk.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, poppy punk, that's always good. Lots of people liking my birthday photograph. Thank you for the birthday wishes as well. And now I'm a pensioner, I get free bus travel everywhere, get my teeth done for free. Well, if you could ever find a dentist on the NHS, that is.
Or the teeth.
Or the teeth, yeah. I get new teeth as well if I want.
Mm.
Thank you for that. And the photograph of Daisy and I, she seems to get more likes than me, you know.
She is a bit of a star, that one.
Mm. Well, I like dogs. I don't know whether you saw the Panorama programme. Gosh, it was last week. It depends when you're listening to this programme. There's been a Panorama programme on puppy farming. But legal puppy farming and the terrible, terrible distress caused to some of these dogs, it was the most appalling thing I've seen for a long time, which I know you watched because I made you watch it.
I did. I didn't see it on the night it went out, but I watched it on the iPlayer. It's still there. It'll be there for about 30 days.
Quite upsetting, isn't it, really?
I was quite disturbed by it, yeah. Mm.
Do you know where your dog came from?
My dog came from the Wirral.
But did you see the parents of your dog or not?
Saw the parents and the grandparents of the dog.
Oh, that's good. That's what you need to do. Now, Daisy, my current dog, looks like a Bichon, could be a cross with something else. She came to me from All Dogs Matter, very good rescue centre in London. And she is the most brilliant dog, but she had a really difficult first few months of her life. She was pushed from pillar to post, and people who thought they wanted a dog had no idea. I've had these sort of dogs for 16 years, 17 years now. And having a dog is like adopting a child. In fact, it should be as difficult in many ways because people buy them. I'll buy them for the kid. Kid gets bored. Dog gets thrown away or just mistreated. A dog is, you know, if you want to share your life with an animal, then you have to think very seriously about it. It costs a fortune, even if you get the dog for nothing. Listen, we've had him on the program before, Mark Abraham, the vet, who's very passionate about this. And I thought we'd talk to him again because he was in this program, in the Panorama program. And I know he's very keen on this. So should we get him up and have a talk?
Yes, please. I'll put him on now.
Mark, welcome.
Hello, James. How are you doing?
I'm good, my friend. I'm very good. Tell me, first of all, how you got involved with the Panorama program.
I got involved with the Panorama program because last year there was the first one they did was called the Dog Factory, which concentrated a lot on the illegal trade of puppies and the illegal sale of puppies and the illegal dealing. However, what's actually crucial for your listeners and for pet lovers worldwide to understand is that the trade in puppies, the worst trade in puppies, if you like, in the UK and beyond, is actually a legal trade. It's a licensed trade. And for many reasons, this is a bit of a cover-up. To be honest with you, the government's hypocrisy, because the government will say, always see the puppy with its mum, which is absolutely the best advice you could ever give. However, the same government is actually licensing establishments to sell the puppy without the mum, sometimes hundreds of miles away. So from the top of the pyramid, there's hypocrisy, confusion, and how the public are meant to make, you know, an informed decision about getting a dog is anyone's guess.
Right. Let's talk about how you decide to get a dog in a moment. Let me just set the scene for anybody who didn't see it. And if you go back to watch Panorama of, I can't remember the date. What was the date?
It was on Monday. And just coming back to your question, James, that's the reason that we got in touch with the Panorama team, who are the very fantastic Sam Poling and Liam, is because we felt that the legal trade, the licensed trade, needed as much, if not more, exposure to educate the public and to actually put pressure on the people that can actually change legislation and stop these puppies from being produced and sold and entering this disastrous chain, which is pretty much a modern-day animal welfare catastrophe.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Let me just set the scene. These are puppy farms. Lots of people have heard about puppy farms. These are legal puppy farms. And the facilities in these puppy farms, one in Northern Ireland, that was actually, it had the bitches in boxes, giving birth to puppies. It was really factory farming of dogs. It ended, Panorama, with some discarded dead puppies in a field because presumably the mortality rate of breeding animals in this way is quite high. Now, what was the name of the guy in Ireland, Eric somebody or other, who was shown in the Panorama programme?
The names, if you look at the Panorama website, the names of all the people on there, this is not an isolated incident. This is happening all across Ireland. This is happening in Wales. This is happening in Eastern Europe. It's happening because it's allowed to happen. And as you've already mentioned, and we both hinted on this. It's a legal licensed trade, respected by the local authorities. They're not necessarily animal experts, animal welfare experts. It's usually a tick box exercise. But the fact is, there's such a lack of transparency in the industry. And as much as the government and most ethical animal welfare organisations and almost all campaigners are saying, always see the puppy with the mum. If you can't see the puppy with the mum, then of course there's something to hide. And the fact that there's something to hide gives these puppy farmers, if you want, these large-scale commercial licensed breeders, the excuse to keep these in horrific conditions. And these are obviously not livestock. They're kept as livestock. They're dogs. They're sentient beings that need socialization. They need human contact, animals. All these cliches that people throw out. And yet, as you've mentioned quite correctly, James, you keep a dog in a box where the only light coming in was from the water feeder. I remember that scene was probably the most harrowing scene apart from the dead puppies. What chance do we have in 2016 of actually prioritising animal welfare? Because this is legal.
You see, what worries me is at the end of the programme, they said that the chap in Northern Ireland who was breeding hundreds of puppies, these are pedigree dogs, by the way, dogs that fetch probably around average out at about £500-600 a go. When he had his license revoked, because obviously the authorities could not give him a license after they were shown the film, what does he do to those dogs? I mean, I have views of him sticking them all in a drowning them, burying them alive. What does he do with them?
Yeah, absolutely, James, and you're absolutely right. We hear horror stories of dogs that aren't lucky enough to be given up to a local rescue, that are shot and drowned and walled in and buried alive because they're just surplus to requirements and they cost money to keep alive. So the whole trade, the whole industry is so disgusting. But there's such a simple solution, which is obviously to improve transparency, to ban this sort of the dealing of dogs. If people could only go to the breeders, and they open these places up, there's public scrutiny, was inspecting, if anything, and saw the puppy with the mum, or, of course, go to rescue. But it's the fact that the chain, the third-party chain, the dealers, the pet shops, the pet shop license holders, the private dwellings posing as breeders, because of these outlets exist, the industry will always exist. So we have such an urgent need for legislation to ban third-party sales of puppies. So you can only buy a puppy if you see it interacting with its mum, or preferably go to a rescue centre instead.
And there are. You go and look through ads for puppies, and they're ordinary houses where these pathetic excuses for humans are actually taking a bitch, pretending it's the mum of puppies that they're getting from these dog dealers, and they're selling them off as if they came from the bitch. So people are going to a private home where these are con artists, and they're selling dogs that down the line either have some genetic problem and not very well. Some might be great. And even if they do, I'd take them out and flog them, some of these people, actually, publicly. That might put people off, but that's probably a little too over the top. I cannot believe it. And there are companies, was it Dogs for Us? I've never heard of them. There's a company called Dogs for Us who buy them from these places?
Absolutely. I mean, Dogs for Us are a pet shop. They're also known as a sort of a puppy supermarket because all they sell is puppies. There's one in Manchester, there's one in Leeds. This is a licensed legal pet shop. They have a pet shop license. And they buy in puppies from licensed breeders, some licensed, some unlicensed, but on the whole, they're licensed. This is the chain we're talking about. This is a legitimate chain. They're not doing anything wrong. And of course, people go in there because it must be okay if it's licensed. And that's a real sticking point, because as soon as people hear the word licensed, they think it's animal welfare okay. It's not. It's legally okay. So they go in and they say, oh, I'd like a puppy. This is a bit weird. I thought pet shops were banned. And they go, no, we're fully licensed and inspected and regulated by the local authority, which is true. We buy all our puppies from licensed dog breeders, which is also true. However, nothing is actually welfare-based. So they're just sort of supporting this horrific chain. Interesting what you just mentioned about the fake mum. Sometime on the documentary on Panorama, they showed two instances. They had the fake mums, which are called show bitches, which will never, ever interact with the puppy the same way as the mother of the puppy, let's face it. And also, we had a situation where they said, where's the mum? And the mum wasn't there. You know, she'd gone for a walk, or she was with a neighbour, or she was at the vets. So, once again, it just stresses that urgent need to ban the sale of puppies without their mums, because there's scams going on, and there's so much cruelty going on. And also, with regard to pedigree dogs, it's not just pedigree dogs. It's designer dogs. So, you know, Cavapoos and Cabochons and Multipoos and Doodles and Schnoodles and anything that sounds fun. But also the pedigree dogs as well, like the French Bulldogs and Pugs that are coming in from Eastern Europe particularly. But this can all be solved by the simple solution of making it absolutely essential that you see the mum interacting with the pup at the point of sale.
Do the Kennel Club have any questions to answer? Because as far as I'm concerned, some of the breed standards that they impose is actually causing harm to certain dogs.
It's a good question, and it's a very relevant question at the moment, because there's an EFRA Select Committee inquiry going on into animal welfare. And one of the questions posed recently to the Kennel Club was, if you're breeding, for example, a breed like pugs, which often have difficulties breeding, what we call brachycephalic breeds, the short-nosed breeds, the pugs, the Boston Terriers, the French Bulldogs, if you're actually breeding those dogs, are you actually ignoring preventable suffering? And could you be prosecuted for being a pug breeder? Obviously, not all pugs have this problem, so you could never, you know, obviously see into the future. But it is an issue. There's petitions now starting. There are issues now with the Kennel Club with dog breeding. There has been for a long time, but obviously with this year's crops, we saw the shepherd, you know, win his best of breed, and it was crippled. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is the actual selling of pets. The Kennel Club say they actively campaign against puppy sold in pet shops. However, a year ago, I flagged to them pet shop in Sussex that was selling Kennel Club registered puppies. Now, the Kennel Club's advice is to always see mum. The Kennel Club's advice is to always see the breeding conditions, to never buy if you suspect it's from a puppy farm. However, these puppies in a pet shop are Kennel Club registered from a licensed puppy farm, prove that, without their mum and not in their breeding environment. So there's all sorts of levels of hypocrisy going on, and no one's really willing to really prioritise animal welfare. So for us campaigners, and I speak for myself and another group called Carry Out, we work very closely with, it's incredibly frustrating because the people who really should care and pretend they care actually have other agendas and vested interests they seem to be prioritising more than the dogs.
Well, isn't there something that can be done, Mark, to make the Kennel Club toe the line? Because I'm aware that quite often breeders of dogs, and they breed the dogs purely to make money out of showing them, because if you have a dog that gets to crufts and wins crufts, they're worth a fortune. And a lot of these dogs end up being fairly interbred, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interbreeding going on. There's a lot of interbreeding going on without the sort of pedigree dog scene. I mean, for me, that's not the real sort of welfare issue at the moment. The Kennel Club have addressed a lot of those issues. They've, you know, a lot of health testing. They've banned sort of same generation or sort of missing one generation matings. But your initial statement was actually quite important in terms of what can actually be done. And that, from a campaigner's point of view, is really the crux of it. When you complain, which I have done to the Kennel Club, about their own registered puppies being sold in pet shops, which they claim to campaign against, they say, oh, it has to go, the decision's made by the sort of general counsel. We'll get back to you. We'll email you. We'll keep you posted. And, of course, you never hear anything. So it's a real case of just putting on more and more pressure, asking questions. If no one answers, ask why they're not answering. You know, social media is there, to be honest with you, it can be used fantastically for that, because everyone's got a voice, and all brands are there to be asked and to interact with. So I think people should just, you know, ask questions and don't stop asking until you get an answer.
Well, here's what I'm going to do right now on this programme today. I am throwing down the gauntlet to the Kennel Club to come on and tell me what they thought about the Panorama programme, because they weren't quoted on it, although I imagine they will have seen it. I'd like to know their thoughts on this. I'd like to know their answers to the question that people like Mark and others have put to them. And I think we should carry on asking the question publicly, Mark, until we get an answer. In fact, I think there's a debate to be had, which I'd be more than happy to chair, between people on your side, the animal welfare side, and the breeders' associations and the breeders. I'm sure that everybody has a common goal, wanting to see the welfare of the animals that we, a lot of us, share our lives with. So let's ask the Kennel Club, perhaps the General Secretary of the Kennel Club, if they'd like to come on this programme, or any other programme for that matter, and debate this issue.
Absolutely, James. I think the more it's exposed and put in the public eye and the conversations are kept public, the more, you know, dog breeders aren't bad people. There's a lot of, probably, you know, most of the dog breeders are responsible. They health test, they socialise their pups, they want to meet the people those puppies are going to, often more than once, more than twice, sometimes more than three times. So we can't tar all the breeders with the same brush by any means. But it's interesting, as you say, to get the Kennel Club in, because, as I say, there's irregularities there which I've exposed, and I've been trying to work with them for a while now, and you just get ignored because, you know, I'm speaking out of turn, if you like, and I'm not afraid to do that. So I'd really like to know that after a year of asking them why Kennel Club registered puppies are sold in a pet shop, which they're actually meant to be actively campaigning against, why nothing's changed. Funny enough, James, I actually looked this morning to see if anything had changed, and on the website for this pet shop, most of our puppies are Kennel Club registered. So nothing changes unless people are challenged, questions are asked, and the more public those conversations happen, the more people can be held to account. And also the greater opportunity these organisations have for explaining what's going on, because we genuinely want to know. We want to understand.
I couldn't agree with you more. And also, although the majority of breeders have got the welfare interests of their animals at heart, the ones exposed on Panorama obviously didn't. They're factory farming animals. I'm still concerned about when their licenses are taken away from them. Some of these huge puppy farms, and they look like an intensive pig breeding or chicken breeding, some of these places out in the country, and there's no publicity to say what they do. They manage to keep quiet about it, and then the puppies are taken out and sent to different places to be sold elsewhere. They're not sold on the premises. I'm concerned about what happens to these places when they're exposed. Who looks after those animals? Do the dog welfare organisations, I mean, that a lot of them don't have the money to do it, do they go in and rescue these dogs, or they just left?
I think a simple answer to that question, James, is the fact that I don't think anything changes. I think if it's unlicensed, if you like, they're just going to carry on trading.
Why can't they be closed down? Why can't that appalling bloke in Ireland, or those two appalling kennels in Ireland, and likewise kennels, of course, in Wales, where these places have been set up? As far as I know, there aren't any in England, are there?
Yes, there's lots in Wales. There will be a few in England, but the majority of those sort of large-scale puppy farms and large-scale commercial breeders with poor welfare standards are licensed, and they're in sort of Carmarthenshire, Pembrokeshire, Ceredigionshire, southwest tip of Wales, because it's rural, there's a lot of land. And also the farmers, you know, in 20 years ago or so, in the foot and mouth outbreak, of course, they had all their cattle and sheep slaughtered, and the Welsh Assembly gave them all breeding licences. So they've used the breeding licences, and they filled up their agricultural barns and outbuildings with breeding bitches, and some have, up to 200.
These poor dogs, by the way, that give birth to the puppies have no life at all, do they?
No, of course not. I mean, they're kept in pens, they're kept on straw, they're kept as livestock. Puppies are removed too young. They're transported across the country via the dealer network, and they're sold by third-party sellers. So it's a licensed trade. And until that route to market is actually severed, and people have to go to the breeder to see the breeding environment and the bitch interacting with the puppy, which is the government's own advice, the trade can only continue, because every route to market is legitimised by the government. So people aren't technically doing anything wrong.
If you haven't seen the Panorama programme on Puppy Farms, go and check it out. It's on the iPlayer, and see what you think. And if there's any way any of us can help close these establishments down and rescue these poor animals, let's try and find a way to expose the people who behave like this and the people who breed dogs with no interest in the dogs. They see them purely as a way of making money. Mark, let's finish this chat this time about how... Now, somebody listening, they're thinking of getting a dog. How do you... I always say, well, go to one of the rescue organisations. I got Daisy, my last dog, which... she's always appearing on Twitter. I cannot understand how she gets far more retweets and likes than I ever do, but there we are. She came from All Dogs Matter. They're a really good little rescue organisation. The Dogs Trust, obviously, never put a dog down unless that dog is ill. There are all sorts of places to get a dog. How do you decide and choose?
Excellent question, James. Basically, there's two ways of getting a dog. First of all is rescue, as you've quite rightly said. And I work closely with All Dogs Matter, where you got Daisy from, and they are fantastic. Proper charity, putting animal welfare first. I also work with charities like the Oldies Club, with one called Racestead. Really, and the Mayhew, lovely charities, prioritizing animal welfare. They have dogs there. They have puppies there. A lot of people don't realize that rescues have puppies too. A lot of the animals they have will be neutered, they'll be microchipped, they'll be vaccinated, they'll be house trained. You know, these are bargain pets, if you like, that don't cost nearly as much as a pedigree dog or a puppy. You know, we're talking a tenth of the cost sometimes. And so I would always say go to your local rescue centre first, without a doubt. The second place to get a dog, if you really, really want a puppy, is basically a responsible breeder. And a responsible breeder is one that you will see the mum. I mean, it's that simple. So a responsible breeder won't force you into buying anything. A responsible breeder will encourage you to come back and see the puppy. The responsible breeder won't sort of rush the sale or put any pressure on you at all. The responsible breeders also health test their dogs. They'll have certificates. They'll have all sorts of vaccination cards. So you have to go with your gut feeling. The best thing to do, I think, for people, if they really want to source a puppy, is to go to their vets and ask their vets who the responsible breeders are in the area, and be directed by them, because they'll be clients.
Listen, Mark, that's a really good idea. Before you get a dog, go to your local vet. Make an appointment, go to your vet, chat to your vet. Your vet might not even charge you for that.
Most wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't, but... even if it's a chat with one of the nurses in the nursing clinic, it shouldn't be a charge, and they should be more than happy that you're putting that research in. If you suspect anything when you're buying the puppy, Google the mobile number of whoever's selling it, because often it comes up with pages and pages of different litters. Regarding online, online's okay for advertising. You know, responsible breeders, rescue centres, everyone advertises online, but it's advertising online. What you have to be wary of is anyone that offers delivery, anyone that offers credit card taking details on the actual website, because that's actually selling and that's obviously bad. So just be careful with online. And if you're worried about anything or suspicious about anything, ask your vet surgery. Someone will be more than happy to give you the expert professional advice.
And don't think that even if you got a dog given... A dog is expensive. You're going to have to give up holidays. You're going to have to give up weekends away in many cases. And an average dog, just an average dog, is going to cost you a couple of £1,000 a year. You need to think about that.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking, you know, the obvious things like bedding and leads and food. And then you've got the vet's bills, so vaccinations and worming and fleas. And, of course, what happens if something goes wrong? So you've got to think about pet insurance. Do you take it out? Do you wait? And if something goes horrifically wrong, do you have those reserves spare to pay? You know, operations now and investigations can cost £1,000, £2,000, £3,000, £4,000, £5,000, even more, you know, for orthopedic surgery or rare diseases. So you really do have to be prepared, do your research. Of course, as vets, we recommend insurance, but only because we're in situations sometimes where a dog's or cat's been hit by a car and it needs emergency surgery. So we recommend insurance. Shop around. But also with vets, shop around, because there's corporate vets and there's independent vets, and I'd always recommend an independent vet. So there's a lot going on out there, but really, go to your independent vet if you can, or your veterinary surgery, and just ask professional advice there. Start from the top. It's going to be unbiased, hopefully, and they can direct you the right way.
Lastly, what can people do to help stop this appalling trade? Apart from all the stuff, what if somebody feels now motivated, they want to go and do something, what do they do?
It's a great question, James, and I'm really glad you asked it, because there's nothing worse than watching something like Panorama that makes you fuming and angry and upset. A lot of people were crying. Basically, what you've got to do is think, right, how can we stop this? Right, well, I've made that easier. The solution is to ban third-party sales, so you can only buy from the breeder or rescue, right? Then what you do is you start challenging the people that are getting in the way of that. So we're talking about maybe sort of asking some of the big charities what their points of view are. You know, would they support a ban on third-party puppy sales? Ask them on Twitter. Ask them on Facebook. Write to them. Write to your local MP. Get a meeting with your local MP. Because the quicker we get to this solution, which is to ban the third-party sales, to ban the dealers, if you like, the quicker we end puppy farming, because they can't survive if the public are turning up and actually looking and inspecting and buying directly from them. The industry only thrives through lack of transparency and deceit. So the solution's there. You just need to get there. The big charities are involved in the legislative process, so it's worth asking the RSPCA, Battersea, Dogs Trust, Blue Cross, you know, what their viewpoints are, what their opinions are. Would they be prepared to support a ban on third-party puppies? Hopefully they would, because that's the solution. So, and just finally, James, I'd say there's a rally on Tuesday, the 24th of May, outside Parliament, 11 a.m. Come along and support that. We have a dog show every year, Primrose Hill. This year it's September the 3rd, which I'd love you to come to, James, and help judge, with celebrities raising awareness about puppy farming. And finally, follow PupAid, PUPAID, on Twitter, on Facebook, and we can help you. You know, you can always tweet us or Facebook us, and we can give you the best advice. So there's loads of things you can do, and help share and spread awareness, and tell your friends about puppy farming and what to look out for.
Mark, as always, wise words. Thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure. Thanks, James.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale.
If you would like to see that, it's on iPlayer, and maybe one of your friends made a copy of it or something like that. But as Mark said, tweet some of these organisations. I don't know whether the Kennel Club is on Twitter. Tweet the Kennel Club. Tweet. Get in touch with your local Member of Parliament, because this is no way for a civilised society to treat the most important animal we have. That's in my view. I know lots of people think of other things, but you know, dogs have done and do a lot for us, and we treat them like this. It's appalling, absolutely appalling. And I hope some of those people who've done nothing illegal, but you know, they're just morally wrong, can be dealt with in the future. I just get so angry about it. I'd like to come face to face. I'd like to do a debate between some of these organisations, and maybe we can get the Kennel Club to come on and do an interview on this show, Rob. Let's see if we can't.
We can always try.
Yeah, let's ring up the Kennel Club. I'll leave it to you, Rob, because you're so much more polite than me, and see if you can get them to come on and explain to me some of the things about breeding dogs and why so many people seem to be able to mistreat dogs and get away with it.
They are literally one of the family. It's like having a child.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, you have to have you have to have patience, as I know you're finding out.
It's hard work. It really is hard work.
Yeah. Okay, shall we do tech talk?
Yes, okay.
All right, over to you.
Android Pay.
What?
We've had Apple Pay, now we've got Android Pay.
Oh, I thought for a minute you were going to tell me I had to pay any Androids I had. And I was going to say, what do they want money for?
Well, I don't know, maybe all they're dressed up as policemen.
Yeah. Oh, Android policeman, that's another idea, isn't it? Yeah.
That's another idea. Android Pay got launched, so you can now pay with your Android phone at the card machines in shops.
Yeah, it's a really easy way to pay, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's quite annoying. No, it is quite annoying, because, you know, under 30 quid?
Well, with Android and Apple Pay, I assume the limit is more or less unlimited, because you have to use your fingerprint, usually.
Oh, right. It's different to swipe.
Oh, swiping's about 30 quid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Too easy. It's too easy to spend money.
Well, you still got a queue.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. Android Pay, okay. And what's this about angry birds? What have you been doing to upset the ladies near you?
The locals. No, that's the film I went to see this week.
Yeah.
It's based on the classic game that everyone used to play many, many years ago, Angry Birds.
I'm sorry, I must have missed me. What's Angry Birds, for goodness sake?
Little piggies go to Bird Island, steal the birds' eggs, and the birds go to the piggy island to go and steal the eggs back. And each bird has a different special power.
Have you been drinking?
Well, I've had a Coke.
Oh, right, OK, that would express... Yeah, and you went to see a movie about the little piggies going to a bird island.
Yes.
Was it worth it?
It was entertaining, it was all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a children's programme?
No, it's... I don't know, it's tough one, that one. It's designed to both children and adults, but it's a cartoon, 3D cartoon.
Mm. All right, so obviously missed me. The thing I've seen this week that really everybody should see if you haven't seen it is Marcella.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that.
Wasn't that? Did you see the last one?
I saw the last one last night, yes.
I was going to ruin it for you if you hadn't.
They all die in the end.
No, they don't. Oh, no, I've ruined it. Anyway, I think there's going to be another series. I hope there's going to be another series, because we've had some brilliant, haven't we? We've had Line of Duty. I thought that was brill too.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some really good dramas recently. Excellent. So if you haven't seen Marcella, get it on the ITV Hub, I think that one, isn't it?
That's on ITV Hub. I'm sure it'll be there for another month or so.
Mm. Then get the box set.
Well, yeah, was it up for sale straight away afterwards, I noticed.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, actually, I think it'd be. I wouldn't mind watching it again. In 6 months or so, I wouldn't mind watching it again.
It definitely gripped me. I saw it on Gogglebox. They were doing a review on Gogglebox, and... The scene with the bathtub hooked me straight away.
Yeah, I imagine it probably did. Yeah, excellent. Right, thank you very much indeed. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show, and if you would like to find out more about it, go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Yeah, and if you want to get in touch, it's jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. We haven't got our phone line back working yet, have we?
No, I need to get that sorted, really.
You do, because it's on the top of my running order here.
Yeah, it is.
What happens if I ring 0117-230-1771?
Well, it rings your house.
Oh, right, OK. Well, don't ring that, then. I'm going to have a sleep in a minute. Do we finish, as usual on this programme, with questions for the whale?
Okie dokie. You ready for this?
I am. Can you do it?
I'll give it a go. Gary Thomas Stewart, when's Rob going to stop drinking Coke?
Ah, that'll be never.
Very good. Good answer.
Was it right?
Yes. Unless they run out of making it, I suppose.
Yeah. In fact, Rob and I had lunch once. In fact, the only time when I was working... Where was I working? BBC Birmingham, wasn't it?
Birmingham, yes.
And you came over. And Rob very kindly took me out for lunch. Well, I would expect that. And he didn't drink alcohol.
I had one beer with you.
Did you have one beer?
One beer, yes.
Yeah, I think it's more than time we had another lunch, isn't it, really?
Is that a hint for me to take you out to lunch again?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I'll arrange something.
Well, my old friend Alan Brazil, who does the breakfast show on Talk Sport, rang me the other day and asked me if I go and have lunch with him.
Does he owe you lunch as well now?
Well, yeah, but the problem with Alan Brazil is he'll have what he calls a 3-bottle lunch.
Is that little bottles of beer or bottles of wine?
No, that's big bottles of wine.
Ooh.
Difficult. I can't really, at my great age, I can't really handle that anymore.
It's a bit heavy.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got a bone to pick with them. I noticed that there are loads of people who have just been given lifetime achievement awards for working on the radio.
Yeah.
I never get offered anything like that, do I?
Well, you're not nearly dead, though. That's the thing.
Well, nor are some of these. Some of these are years younger than me.
Well, you never know when your time's up.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean your time's up, does it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a lifetime achievement award.
Okay.
You don't want one of them.
No, I don't want one. I've gone off the idea. Right, let's get on with the questions.
Bob Atkins, or Atkins.
Yeah.
What were electric eels called before electricity was discovered and harnessed?
Ah, they were called flashbang wallop eels.
Very good. Dave Benjamin, how many roads must a man walk down?
As many as he can in his lifetime.
What happens when you get to a street?
Will you cross it?
Fair point. Adam Fuller, how many drum kits has Charlie Chuck hurled around and demolished?
Oh, hundreds, hundreds. When he does his act, when he gets full on with his argument with the drum kit. I mean, that's it. So, yeah, hundreds over the years.
David Hathaway. I'm getting
good
with
the names.
You're
doing well with the names, by the way.
Bad, is it?
May I just say for people that English isn't Rob's first language, is it?
Possibly not.
No, his first language is bollocks.
Do I have to edit that bit out?
It's entirely up to you. You're the producer.
I'm going to leave it in, see if we get any complaints. It wasn't me that said it, so it's all right. If there was no such thing as vampires, why do we have garlic to ward them off?
Well, because you need an excuse, don't you, to breathe garlic breath over everybody. I love garlic. It's one of my pleasures in life. One of my favourite pasta dishes is spaghetti all'olio, peperoncino, which is spaghetti, olive oil, chili and garlic and parsley, and it is the most delicious, but you do stink afterwards. So if anybody says, what is what? You say, yep, I'm just, problem with vampires. Don't want them coming round, do you?
I like steak.
Yep.
Peter Ippendorf.
Right, that's good for you, yeah.
Phonetics, you see. I can do that.
Mm. Phonetics, yeah.
Flying ducks, walking ducks and sitting ducks.
And shitting ducks.
I'm leaving that in as well.
I don't know what's wrong with me now. I don't know why. That's not even a question, you prat.
Paddy Fian.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Is Wee Grammar letting us down?
Is Wee Grammar letting us down? No.
Is that Scottish?
Yeah.
Okay. Andy Quick, can carrots see in the dark?
No.
And finally, Andy Swan, have you watched Brexit the movie yet?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I have, as it happens, yes.
Yeah, and what's it about?
It's just basically a movie about why we should leave the EU.
Oh, I'm getting so bored with this whole thing. Maybe we should talk more about that in a programme in the future, nearer the time of the referendum.
OK, can we schedule it in then?
Yeah, schedule it in. Schedule an interview with the Kennel Club for me. And also, if you can make an appointment for me to meet with the Prime Minister, that would do some good for the next programme.
And when do you want your lunch with me next week?
You better put that down one day next week, yeah.
OK, is Thursday OK for you?
Fine, any day, yeah. Yeah.
OK, all right. Usual place?
Usual place, yeah. And just get my favourite beer on the table, 1664, for when I arrive.
16, is that the price?
No, that's the make.
The make, 1664.
Yeah, 1664. Good. Thank you very much.
Done.
Brilliant. Thank you. And so, to all of you, thank you so much for listening. This has been the James Whale Radio Show. Join us again, same time, same place. And in the meantime, of course, there's over 100 hours worth of these programs that you could re-listen to. It's all on our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Thanks to our sponsors, Ford, and for everybody else for helping make this program a reality. Go on, get off.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.